everyone, and welcome to a delightful edition of ARG Presents. I tried to make it work, but I couldn't pull it in. I'm your good buddy, your good pal, Amigo Aaron, joined by a man who brings light to the darkness. I give you the beacon of truth, a.k.a. the Brent.
Beep, beep.
What does that mean?
I'm driving my Daewoo back like back in the day.
Listen, I will say the only way I'd heard of a Daewoo was because of you. Yes. And that plays into this week's festivities because we spun the wheel and we made the deal, Brent, this week. We're going to be playing games on the BAM, Zemex, Daewoo, CPC, 51. It's going to be quite a treat for everyone to meet our good friend, the Zemex.
Now, yes.
Have you heard of the Zemex V CPC 51 before we strolled it last week? Clearly, you'd heard of it at least once.
Absolutely not. No, no, no. I throw things on pieces all the time.
Where did you get the idea for that one?
I don't know. I honestly don't remember making the piece. And it's been on the wheel for a while, so there you go.
You're an idiot.
But I do know all kinds of crap about Daewoo the company.
We're going to get into it. Let's talk about the console before we move into the huge company that runs it. Because Daewoo, they're kind of a big thing, aren't they, Brent?
Well, were, yes.
Yeah, they were. Are they gone?
You're kidding me. We'll talk about it.
So, this week we are looking at the Daewoo Zemex V CPC 51. The Daewoo is a computer. Oh, that's not true.
That's not true at all.
It's a console that's based on a computer that it lives and breathes in Korea, South Korea.
Yes.
Now, I learned a few things this week about South Korea and about the Daewoo Corporation, a bunch of other stuff. So, first off, everyone's like, the Daewoo Zemex V CPC 51. That's a mouthful, correct? Zemex is a term that Daewoo puts on every console they made.
Yes.
Okay. You know what it means?
I remember reading it, but I don't remember what it was.
It means it's fun in Korean. So this is the Daewoo It's Fun 5 CPC 51.
It's not 5.
Well, V.
The V is victory.
That's true. You're right. It's V for victory. You're right. Good point. So it's the... It's the Daewoo It's Fun Victory CPC 51.
And what does CPC stand for?
I don't know. I couldn't find that out. So this thing launched at a price of 96,000. What is the Korean? Is it Wulong or something? Their currency over there. I looked it up. And in 88, that would have been 80 U.S. dollars or $200 today. So
okay.
It wasn't like mega expensive. It wasn't cheap.
Yeah, it was about the cheaper end for a console.
Here's what I like, though. If you want to get the Daewoo Zemex with a joystick, that's going to cost you $109,000. So that adds.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. I guess the cold stick. I don't know. That's what I read. It's got 64K memory, 16K video memory. It took cartridges.
Yes.
Brent. And it took extra connections, including joysticks, mice, paddle controllers, etc., in the joystick ports. And ran on a RF output / composite video. So... No, nothing super fancy.
No.
Analog and
it's
all, it came out of RF. So it was a sign of the times.
Well, and really a slightly behind the times for 86.
So let's talk about, so you're asking yourself, what is this thing? Well, I'm going to tell you. There's a computer in Japan, we've covered it several times, called the MSX.
Yes.
A series of computers that were incredibly popular in Japan. Well, and I get some of this from Boat, who actually lived in Korea. Japan, if you heard Boat talk, a lot of Korean consoles are basically the Korean version of Japanese consoles because that Japan and Korea had an issue.
Yeah.
And Japan's stuff wasn't coming to Korea. And so someone at Daewoo thought, hey, we'd like a console. Bam, MSX. And they did one of my favorite things in all of video games. They did what we've seen countless times on this show. They went and took a computer and just consoleized it. But I will give Daewoo credit. They weren't going to spend any extra time doing this. So what they did was, when you turn the Daewoo Zemex V CPC 51 on, and you see there's nothing in the cartridge slot, it just comes up to a blank screen. You're like, I had nothing. Well, there's actually an MSX logo on this screen and some other stuff that would signify this is an MSX computer, but you can't see it. They've just got it all darked out, which I like. This thing is mostly MSX cartridge compatible, okay? Mostly. And so you're asking yourself, what's that mean? Well, this isn't 100% MSX hardware. It's close. But one thing it doesn't have that an MSX has is a keyboard.
Yeah.
And it has no way to attach a keyboard. And so any game that requires you to hit a button to start on the keyboard, you're boned. And as we'll get to it a little later, there are also other ways that you can be boned if you need a key during the game. So there's also that. So, yeah. Now, they originally, the word on the street is they planned to have a keyboard, but it never happened. This was actually turned out to be a fairly popular unit over there. It's funny because originally when the CPC 51 came out, you've got two color options. You know how they love different colors.
Yeah. Yep.
You had the red and the black, right? And then all of a sudden, here comes another wave, the CPC 51B, the CPC 51R, and the W. The second wave offered black, blue, and yellow. The third wave was, or the next wave was red and black, and the final wave was white and gray. And so the letters at the end of the name represents the colors after the CPC. Now, we didn't go into those, but it's the exact same console.
Yeah.
Different colors. Now, there are tons of these CPCs. There's a 51, 61. There's actually one before the one we played, the 50. There's a 120. There's a Neo Lite. CPC 330, and then there's the Superboy 120. All right, now, you're asking yourself, what in God's name is all this stuff? Well, what all this stuff is are various versions of the MSX 1 and 2.
Yes.
Including one eventually that was a CD-based version. Now, the CD-based version is, oh, man, you're talking about collectible. Holy smokes, is that thing super-duper collectible. But all these are actually difficult to find. I talked to Boat about this. And Boat actually turned me on to one of his buddies he talked to in Korea this week about this very thing. He was asking about the availability of the Zemex V CPC 51. He said, there are hardly ever see them anymore. And the ones you do see are broken. And one of the things Boat and me talked about is that, and Boat confirmed this big time, it's like in Korea, like nostalgic video game playing is not a thing. Like collecting retro systems, not a thing. Like no one cares about that stuff over there. So coincidentally, older systems just basically get trashed.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these machines eventually are gone. Zemex also did some software. So there were, of course, we mentioned that the Zemex will play cartridges. It will play cartridges from MSX, but it also had its own Zemex-based cartridges. All right. And other companies made cartridges for this thing as well. A big one was Zemina, but there was a bunch more that made them. Now, the funny thing about these are tons of, in Korea, it's basically, at the time especially, it was like hidden pirate island.
It really was, yes.
Like, there were no laws, and so they would just take existing titles. Like, there's a Mario knockoff for this.
Yep.
There's all kinds of clones and piracy on the Zemex machines. That was just part of the fun. Even sometimes, I heard a story where Konami was doing something with Zemex. And at the same exact time they were working with Zemex or Zemina on a software, they were also having their own crap bootlegged by the same company. And they knew it. They still did it.
Yeah.
That's how things operated over there. Lastly, before I turn over to Brent, I found out that despite the fact that nostalgia is not a big deal in Korea, they have just recently released a Zemex V CPC 51 Mini. If you can believe this.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a mini version of the console, and it plays a bunch of games. I read a couple places that they limited the distribution of this thing to 500 for the whole country.
Wow.
And I saw two on eBay, by the way. And boy, did I want to buy them, but it was going to cost me $300.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
So I always thought, getting back to the company of Daewoo, I only knew them for making cars. But they made tons of other stuff, didn't they? What do you got?
Well, I owned a Daewoo vehicle.
Yeah.
It was the first car I ever bought with my own money.
Yeah.
And way back when. Gosh, I can't remember what it was.
It was white, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was white. It was a white hatchback. I bought it at the time. I bought it for $9,000.
Yeah.
I had it paid off because I was living at home, working my first job at Dow. So this has been 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
I was working at home, so I could just make outlandish car payments every month. Paid it off in 9 months, right? Had it for a while. Realized something about the Daewoo vehicle. It's first of all, it was never made to drive in the West Virginia mountains because that thing struggled at all turns. However, we had some fun adventures in that little car. If you remember when we drove to, now this is a hatchback with Aaron and I in it. We filled up the car before we ever got out of the driveway. And then we drove to, where did we go to get that thing? Louisville, Kentucky, and picked up a pinball machine.
It was a cocktail
pinball machine.
Star Battle.
And the guy, when we picked it up, we bought it from him. First of all, wouldn't let Aaron use the bathroom.
Yeah, what a jerk. I traveled like 1,000 hours. He wouldn't let me use his restroom.
It was funny. But he was like, you're never going to get that in that vehicle.
He kept saying it as we, without even looking at him, walked in, grabbed it, walked through the driveway, and put it in the vehicle.
Wedged. We wedged it in the vehicle.
I wish we had pictures of that.
Yeah.
It looked like the Daewoo was birthing the pinball machine.
It did. It really did. And then we drove, you know, 200-300 some odd miles back home with this pinball machine hanging out the back.
Yeah. That we had many adventures picking up pinball machines and stuff. But the Daewoo, to be its credit, it took all that weight and got us home.
It did. It did. And then I sold it to my aunt who put it into a bus. Both her and the bus were fine. Hell, the Daewoo, however, was not. So that's what I knew Daewoo as, car company, which they were. But Daewoo is a deep company. There's Daewoo Electronics. There's Daewoo Electronic Components. Daewoo Motors, of course. Daewoo Buses. They make Daewoo Buses. Precision Instruments, textiles, heavy industry equipment like earth movers, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Shipbuilding, securities, telecom, and they're all over the place. One of their biggest sell to point was the Middle East. Mm. So Daewoo ran into some problems, and with their main man being incredibly crooked, stealing billions of dollars from the company and basically bankrupted it.
Really? So they're no longer around.
Well, we'll get there.
Oh, that's good.
They sold the company and to an Iranian outfit for $550 million. And the Iranian people put down a $50 million, like, we're going to buy this, you know, down payment.
Yeah.
And they were late on their next down payment. And they came back and they said, listen, you know, we've thought about this for a little bit. We were bidding against this Swedish company who also wanted to buy Daewoo. We want to kind of, before we give you the next payment, we're wanting to know if we can kind of work on this price a little bit. So Daewoo said, no. In fact, we're cutting off the sales and thank you for the money. So they just took the $50 million and were like, screw you.
They were like, Daewoo.
And walked out the door. So
I like
this battle in the court. And they were like, okay, all right, fine. You're canceling the sales. Give us our money back. And they were like, no. They were like, we didn't cancel the sale. You canceled the sale. They're like, no, we didn't. They were like, aha. So this went through the Korean courts for decades, right?
Yeah.
And the Korean courts were like, yeah, you've got to give the money back.
Oh.
And they were like, nuh-uh, we're taking this to the international courts. So they took it to the international courts. The international courts were like, why are you here? Give the money back. So they were like, oh, no. Huge, huge hit for the company. They had to give back all that money. It was like $608 million. But here's what happened to Daewoo. So, corrupt CEO actually fled the country, took billions of dollars with him.
Yeah.
Eventually came back to Korea, was instantly arrested because he was so corrupt. And Daewoo split into tons of these little entities. Daewoo Electronics, which is who released the ZeniMax, actually is still producing things today. They are one of the few that survived. Them, the ship building arm and the bus building arm are by far the most successful remaining Daewoo things. And Daewoo wasn't a small company. Daewoo was the second largest employer in South Korea. Mm. So these were huge, huge entities, which is why they didn't just go away, even though they filed bankruptcy. They retooled and whatnot. So Daewoo Electronics is now known as Wintai Electronics, W-I-N-I-A.
Winia.
Not pronounceable by little old me. But they kind of bought themselves out, and then a company bought them. But they are, at their core, still the Daewoo Electronics salespeople. Who do sales, and they do sales all over the world today. So they are still sort of around.
The big question is, did your Daewoo hit a Daewoo bus?
No, that is a good question.
That's possible.
Although most of their buses are sold in like India.
Well, there you go.
So probably not.
Very good. Good stuff there. The brand, you went into a little research. I like it. With all that said, it was our duty and pleasure to pick a couple games from the Zemix.
Yes.
CPC 51.
Victory.
I'm sorry, I forgot the V. V 51.
Victory.
Now, here was we made our own house rule. And the house rule was pick a game that actually was released as a Zemix cartridge.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And we both did that. And so, which I think is fair. Because, again, this would play your CPC game.
Yes.
Something that was,
yeah, you could just get a MSX game, almost any game, like, okay, you said.
Now, since you went to all the trouble to do all that research on Daewoo, I'm going to reward you this week. Would you like to start the dance or close the dance?
No, I'll go first.
You will go first.
Yeah, because I think you have the more compelling title.
Tell us what you're into this week.
I went and did a little heavy boxing.
Did you?
Heavy boxing, yeah. And
that's the title, yeah, by the way.
Heavy
heavy boxing.
Heavy boxing. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah. I want to see how you're going to approach this. So get right, go ahead.
I'll tell you what drew me to heavy boxing, okay?
Desperation?
No, I was flipping through these auctions, and there was a puzzle game I was really going to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, but look, it's Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
It's Mike Tyson. Is this going to be like a punch-out type game? Because,
yeah,
I had looked at Superboy, which Superboy is the Zemix absolute near carbon copy of Mario Brothers, Super Mario,
yeah,
Brothers.
Yeah, it looks good.
So
that's not on this system.
So I thought heavy boxing, maybe that's like this system's punch out.
Right.
And then I looked at screenshots, I was like, Oh no, this is not like Punch-Out. Oh. This is not like Punch-Out at all. This is more like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
It is. It looks like the colors.
It does. So I just jumped into it and I said, you know what? Screw it. We're doing it. Mike Tyson's heavy boxing. Although I guarantee Mike Tyson had no idea his picture was on this box.
No.
None. And if you flip it over, It's a advertisement for just HAL Laboratories in general.
Yeah.
They had a lot of just generic box backs because they didn't have any pictures of the game or anything like,
yeah,
that.
Their boxes stink.
They did. And HAL Laboratories is who made this game.
Yeah, they're a real company.
Like, yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, and they still make games today.
I know, but maybe I played their good game.
Yeah. So, what is heavy boxing? Heavy boxing, when you start it up, you are given the title screen, heavy boxing, and a selection between one player or two players. And if you sit there long enough, It will go into a demo mode. Oh, we really? All like demo modes, right?
I like demos.
So when you choose player one, then you get to choose, you know, nothing else. The game starts immediately. There are no options. None. You are just in the action.
Yeah.
You are Boxer Blue, so known because you're the blue boxer, yeah, fighting Boxer Red, who is the red boxer.
Yeah.
And you are given one button,
yeah,
that allows you to punch. And if you hold down and hit your button, you will curl up into a small ball, which they call blocking.
Yeah.
That's it.
Are you going to mention that these are women?
Well, I don't think they're supposed
to. They look exactly like women.
I agree.
You know what? You ever read The Family Circus? It looks like the mom. It looks like two of her.
I do agree.
These look just like women. If these are not men, I can tell you right now.
I do
these
agree.
These are women with a fun bomb.
No. I do agree. They do look like women, but they are supposed to be men.
How do you know?
Well, Mike Tyson's on the box.
Yeah, but neither one of these people look anything like him.
Well, you know, if you squint really hard, you can see him in the crowd. Highlights of heavy boxing.
Yeah. I gotta hear this.
The crowd's animated.
Yeah, it looks like they're all giving the hail sign repeatedly.
I don't think that's what they're
doing.
That's
exactly what it looks like.
They're cheering.
Yeah.
They're cheering on their favorite blue or red.
As if in a rally of some sort.
Blue or red boxer.
Get them. Look at what they're doing. I've never been to a crowd like that.
This, you are treated with a perspective that's isometric.
Yeah.
The ring is isometric.
Okay.
Your boxers, however, are 2D flat sprites,
yeah,
that are not isometric. You don't move in an isometric way.
No.
The ring takes up the majority of the middle of the screen, and your sprites for the boxers are huge.
Yeah.
They are massive. They take up a good third of the ring all by themselves. Okay, maybe a fourth of the ring all by themselves.
I've seen rings this small in real life. They used to have one in Huntington, and it was super tiny. So, I mean, there's a precedent here.
You tower over the ropes, yeah, right? Like, if you know how the big men in wrestling will step over the top, yeah, rope? Both boxers could do that without any problem.
Yeah. They're tall broads.
They're not women.
They are absolutely women.
They're not women.
And when they fall down, they even fall and lay down like women.
What does that mean?
With their legs curved in a seductive way pressed together. That's a woman.
I'm pretty sure that's brain damage.
No, it's not.
Yes, that's brain damage. So you control your boxer. You move in. Like I said, you can hold down and hit the button to do a block. And you also have different strikes. You can punch down towards the body, or you can punch up towards the head, and you actually swing with both arms.
Yeah.
You have no control over any of this.
Yeah.
You literally, when you hit the button, your boxer will randomly choose whether to strike high or low, left or right.
Yeah, because I tried to memorize the various moves. I ended up getting the style, but like, my God, it was like, I'd hit the button, one thing would happen, I'd hit it against something else, I'd hit a joystick. So there was no rhyme or reason to what was happening.
Yeah, so, oh, heavy boxing. You are given a tremendous amount of health, and so is your opponent.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to go in there and knock someone out in one round. That's not going to happen. However, you can be knocked down in like one punch. Yeah.
Well,
no, one punt. I have walked up to my opponent.
Right, but it depends on how. There's a reason for that.
So
clearly, I got into this more than you.
No, I won't know. You just need to know that there is no TKO rule.
No, there's not.
You can go down 6, 7, 9, 12 times in a round. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah.
When a round ends, because a round has a 3-minute time limit, and it actually counts the number of punches that you land in a round.
Yeah.
It's
got the stat, the boxing stat meter thing like on TV.
A little punch count, a landed punch count.
I've never seen that before, if I'm honest.
Pretty neat. Yeah. Pretty neat. Pretty nice addition to the game. When the round ends,
yeah,
both people will go to their corners, yeah. sort of.
I want to hear an explanation for this part.
And you get health back.
Oh, you get some health back. And the computer cranks its health up. Like, it's like...
It has a
it's frustrating.
It has a better trainer than you do. There's
clearly
no question.
It's in better condition than you are, too.
Every time you throw a punch, you lose a little bit of energy.
Yeah.
Every time you get hit, you lose a little bit of energy. And really, punching a lot will lose as much energy as getting hit.
So, it is strange.
But if you don't punch a lot, you'll never win.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, what was your strategy for conquering heavy boxing?
Well, listen, I played exactly one game of this.
You only played one game?
I only needed one. And it was a 12-round violent war. Okay? Let me tell you about this game. You know, you ever seen Rocky? You know? This makes Rocky look like boxing training at the kindergarten. All right? These women are out for blood. There's no standing eight count. There's no three knockdown rule. And there's no doctor anywhere near the building. And these women pummel each other into bloody pulps. All right? They're beat down. The energy barness is pretty large. All right? Yeah. And I exhausted it pretty quick. Just trying to throw random punches the first couple rounds.
Right.
And get knocked down. I didn't know what was going to happen, you know? So I'd get up. I'd go over. And what I had a strategy. When I started to get pummeled, I would pull down. I'd come down the screen.
Yes.
And then when the chick would kind of follow me, and I'd start whapping her in the face. Right?
Yeah.
So by the eighth round, the tables had turned. And I was beating the tar out of this broad. I had one round where I knocked the computer down six times. They always get up at seven or below. I never seen it go past seven. And I mean, it's impossible for this chick to get up. It's impossible. I beat the tar out of her. She kept getting up like a robot or something. This was like that episode of Twilight Zone where they fought the robots. Maybe it's like that. These chicks are tough. I wouldn't want to beat them in a dark alley. But... So I thought to myself, this could be an 8-round or a 10-round or 12-round or a 15-rounder. So by the 10th round, I was getting tired because I was like, man, this is a long fight. These fights go on for a while.
Yeah.
But you can watch that punch count. And by the end, I would be scoring like, I'd get like 30, 40 punches in a round. The computer would get like 8, 10. I mean, I was pummeling this thing.
Yeah.
And by the 12th round, I thought, I'm taking this chick out. And I pummeled and pummeled and pummeled. But we went to the time limit and I was declared the winner. And at the end of the fight, it says, winner, and the screen flash. I don't know if you got to this. And did you ever win?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
And then it instantly goes back to the main screen.
Yes, it does.
So I was trying to get my camera out. I was like, I got to get a picture, but I ran out of time. I couldn't get one. You know, but I mean, I did beat the computer.
So you won by decision in 12 rounds.
This was a war. And I mean, I'm telling you, if you saw a fight like this in real life, this is like something you see like in the 20s where they are like the teens where they go out and they bare knuckle fight for like 170 rounds. Yeah. That's what this was.
Yeah.
This was a war. And this when this booted up, I thought, man, Brent's an idiot. And I still think that. But... And by the way, I would never want to play this a lot, but this was something. I'm not going to lie to you. Between the punch, with two players, you might have something here. It might sort of be fun. It's so random and generic, but the punch count's fun. And the fact that there is no rule. This is what boxing is in South Korea. Just a endless rounds of pain, I guess. Reluctantly enjoyed this in a weird way. So, that's all I can say about it.
So when I first loaded this up, I got KO'd in the third round.
You got knocked out?
Yes. Because I was just punch. And basically drained my health to nothing. And the computer went in, I was like, ting. Yeah. And I was cold. Yeah.
The computer can like, get on this, or roll.
I was like, man, I want to know what happens when you win.
Yeah.
So I fired it back up.
Oh, yeah.
And... it took me eight grueling rounds, and the computer and yourself can be saved by the bell.
Oh, yeah, often.
It was like 6, 7, 8, not ding, ding, ding. It's like,
And that's in every round. Even the 60s, the rules were tighter than this in America.
So I eventually did KO my opponent in the eighth round.
Yeah, what's that like? I mean, I've never seen the number 9 come on the screen.
It says KO and flashes blue because I'm playing the blue boxer. Yeah. And then it went straight back to the title screen.
Also, we know two things here. We know three things. You can be knocked out, you can win by knockout, or you can go to a decision.
That's it. My strategy for this game was as soon as the round started, I was holding right to get as far into the ring as humanly possible.
Because they'll put you up against the ropes,
Yes.
And you can't get out unless you move down and try to move or angle a little bit.
Because every time you land a blow or a blow is landed against you, the person receiving the blow is knocked back. And they're knocked back. It's not a ton, but it's enough that once you are against the ropes, you can start getting pummeled. And you can actually go in there and just... Man, it was so ridiculously satisfying having the computer pushed up against the ropes and just teeing off just 7, 8, 9 blows in a row. And then the round would end. Or they would. And what was incredibly frustrating is if you push them all the way against the ropes, you finally get them up into their corner where you can start doing some damage. And you hit them once and they go down. Yeah. Because then you have to retreat to the neutral corner.
Yeah, and you have to go all the way back.
And it starts the count.
Yeah.
And then you have to, it's a struggle all the way up again. So, is this game horrible and bad?
Yes.
I mean, yes, it is, okay? It is. But it is somewhat incredibly fun.
You know, the one time in Dare to Fight, and I'm like you get, because the computer bullies you.
Oh, yes. Right? Incredibly
and
aggressive.
So it's what's fun is, though, is like you start stringing punches together, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, take that, sucker.
Yes.
But one time, I did this thing. I don't know how I did it, but I ducked or dodged at the exact right second. The computer missed a punch, and I came back with a big vicious shot. It was quite satisfying. I don't know how I did it. Because, again, the controls are, I looked for, you're going to laugh, but I looked for documentation.
I looked for a manual as well.
And so I'm guessing one doesn't exist. And I don't know if the real name of this is heavy boxing or God knows what it is.
Well, this was released across all the MXS platforms. This was in...
Was it called heavy boxing in every version?
Yes. It was.
Why heavy box?
I don't know. I
what
guess
about heavy weight?
I don't know. But this was had a advertisement. This was advertised in 3 times in MSX magazine. It had 2 news articles about it in MSX magazine.
Because there can't be that many fighting games where the two women square off.
And there was 1 review for the game in the magazine. And then one much, much later, for some reason, they reviewed this in 93 in one of the MSX magazines.
10-year anniversary.
But this game got tremendous hype. It had to have a push behind it because it had so many magazine advertisements.
Yeah. Anything on ICO or Koji?
No.
The guys that made it?
No. Nothing. Nothing to be found.
If that is their real name.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, in the end, is this a good boxing game? No. Is this going to replace, something like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
No.
Or even like Ring King? No.
This is more like Atari boxing.
This is like Atari boxing, but... For some reason, tremendously, I've really enjoyed playing this. I'm not going to go play it again.
No.
I've accomplished everything I want to accomplish with it. But for the 15, 20 minutes I spent in my fight, the one I won, I had fun. I was excited when I'd get them in the corner. I was ticked off when I got knocked down. There was probably 30 knockdowns in the fight that I won. It was ridiculous.
It was fun to pretend that this was a real fight between two chicks. You know, one of the
I didn't think it was two
one of the
chicks.
All-time great lady fighters is from West Virginia, believe it or not. And so I've seen many lady fights, but ladies boxing has fallen out of favor. It's not like ladies MMA. It's no one really does. You don't see it much anymore. There's a little few of them, but I like the idea of in my mind this vicious, like no holds barred, no athletic commission death battle. Between the two toughest broads to ever get in a boxing ring. And so on that level, I did enjoy it.
So, I mean, I had a different viewpoint than that, but I also enjoyed it. I think this is worth giving 10 minutes of your time.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron, do we have any Discord reviews while I announce the incredible price tag this game demands. $1,000.
Yeah,
and this game, four of the Zemex, can be yours. Holy cow.
Yeah, the Zemex, the stuff isn't cheap.
It is crazy expensive.
You're going to be amazed at this, but we actually had two reviews on this. I can't believe it. First off, our good buddy Pajaco, 6502, writes, not a full review as I've had like 20 minutes with this, but did I miss something?
That's enough.
The boxer punches in a sequence of down, mid, up, etc. So I didn't really have any control over my punches.
Mm-mm.
I felt I had to cue up my next punch. I needed to add hope I could strike at the right moment.
Yep.
I can duck and move very slowly around the ring. But honestly, the moving, summon 2.5D, didn't really add anything to the game. The whole thing played like a typed-in basic program. I tried out Konami Boxing, and that game was way better.
Oh, no, you know,
Is this just a bad game, or is there something about it that would make it worth another look? No, there's not.
That's it.
Oh, man.
20 minutes is all you need to spend with this game to get what you're going to get out of it.
Our own John Bodokar Schaller also stuck in a review here.
All right.
Heavy Boxing has some things going for it. I appreciated the scoring at the top of the screen.
Yep.
Something you almost never see in a boxing video game.
That's very true.
The crowd makes an attempt to be animated, much like the crowd at a Milton wrestling event. That's also very accurate. But apart from that, there's little to recommend in this game. The boxers move glacially around the ring. You have no control over the direction of your punches, and aside from the belt, of the bell, there is no audio. Until Nintendo...
Oh, no, that's not true. There's music.
Well, yes. There is a...
It's a repeating tune.
Like six notes.
Yeah.
Until Nintendo cracked the code with Punch-Out, boxing games were almost universally disappointing, and Heavy Boxing is no exception. Burial.
For just to put out the facts there, there is a looping soundtrack while you play. And the best part about it...
Well, I wouldn't call it a soundtrack. Well, it's more like a doorbell. That's basically the length of it.
To be fair, though, it has this an awesome fade-in and fade-out effect when the round begins and ends. I appreciate it. It never got on my nerves because I really only paid attention to it when...
It is not real loud.
It went up. You know, it tuned up when the round started to kind of get you into it. And then it kind of fades in the background. And then you're locked into the action.
Well, so, listen.
Action.
It was an interesting pick. When you first, by the way, you were late getting your pick in this week.
A little late.
And so I thought to myself, Brent's really struggling because he's lazy and dumb. But when I looked at your game, I thought you're lazy and dumb. And you're also a glutton for punishment. And you also don't like me. Overall, I made the best out of what I would consider a bad situation.
Did you enjoy playing it?
I did.
Bam.
I played 12 rounds. By the way, that's all you need to play. You play this one time, then you're out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine dropping a grand on this, taking it home? Look what I got, kids.
No.
For our Daewoo Kimmix 5 CPC -1.
Not 5, V.
Sorry. All right. So let's switch gears.
All right.
Shall we? I actually picked a game that I thought looked pretty cool. And so they had a cool name, too. So you know how I like to do it. The game I picked was King's Valley.
Yeah.
Pretty good name.
It is a good name.
Published and developed by, you may have heard of this company. It's a little company called BAM, Konami.
Yeah, about as big as HAL.
They're bigger than HAL. Konami? Are you kidding me?
HAL Laboratories is pretty big.
In 1985. Now, we'll get into the multiple platforms you can play this on, but originally, this was released on the MSX, and of course, it got its own cartridge on this system. And believe it or not, there was a bizarre, little known official port of this that goes for DOS, which I actually played, by the way. But I mean, it's good luck ever seeing it. Like, you'll never see it. King's Valley is an unusual game. So Konami heavily supported the MSX.
Yeah.
We should put into perspective, since this system is basically MSX based, all right? The ZeniMax is a computer without a keyboard. And the MSX was the number one King Dong of computers at that era in Japan.
Yes.
There was, I mean, it was, and the whole series of MSX machines were super popular.
Yeah.
This wasn't like a Coco or something.
No,
I mean,
no.
This thing was big news. This is a big deal.
Big news,
and so all the big companies came to town. All the arcade ports came to MSX.
Yeah.
They got everything. And so they also had first places like Konami. Here's Konami releasing a title that didn't, and this is 85, mind you, and they're releasing an exclusive home title.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's something to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's said, I read this a couple places, I can't vouch for this, but it's sort of the same, that King's Valley is the spiritual successor to the arcade game Tutankhamen.
Absolutely, 100%.
It has some similarities
yes,
to it.
It has the exact
and the tune
same.
Is the same, but there are differences.
Oh, yeah, it's not nearly as good.
So, what is King's Valley? King's Valley, a platform game where you play an explorer that is going through basically let's assume it's a pyramid, but it's some sort of underground
layer
or whatnot.
Yeah, a tomb.
And your goal is to get all the jewels and progress through the pyramids.
Rob the place.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, we don't know the backstory here. Yeah, maybe the mummy stole his stuff.
Let me tell you something. This guy's not collecting this stuff to put in a museum.
You don't know that.
Plus,
these could be bowling balls, for all we know.
Shiny gym-based bowling balls.
In this game, again, you play the pith helmet wearing explorer as he runs through the mummy's tomb, collecting all the various bowling balls or gems. When he collects all the gems,
truly outrageous.
At least one door will open, and sometimes more. We'll get into that. And when that happens, he can leave and go to the next level. Then there's a little like intermission time where it shows you a map of the pyramids and where you're at, and where you're going. An oddity in this game, just to throw it in here, is that occasionally, you'll open up two doors, and you're like, well, that's interesting. I'll just go to the door close to me. That will take you back to the old place you were. You'll go backwards. The funny thing is, when you go backwards, the door's still there, so you just hop back in and leave. Now, I read a lot of people that thought this was dumb and didn't make any sense, and they're sort of right, but it does make it seem like you're in some sort of long, connected thing as opposed to just having stages.
Yeah, so yeah.
If you're trying to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
So you're going through and collecting these gems, but you just don't roll through this game. You got a couple bad guys on your tail, right? And they're in the form of these mummies. They're different colored mummies. The funny thing is the mummies are sort of like the Pac-Man ghosts. One mummy is on you, and then one of the mummies just lingers around. There's several mummies in here. Like the white mummy, he's an idiot. He just kind of walks around.
Yeah.
The blue mummy is more aggressive. You're going to be going up and down staircases in this. One thing you have to get used to is the controls. The controls are pretty standard, up, down, left, right. But on the staircase, you have to hold. It's a lot like Shay's Maxim. You have to hold diagonal in the direction you're going.
Yeah, it tricks you the first time, but it's easy to get used to.
I fell for it more than once.
Oh, okay.
But it is what it is. Some levels of this game are multi-screen. So you'll leave one side of the screen and go to the other. Not all like that, but there are some like that. It's kind of jarring at first. You don't expect it.
I didn't realize it at first, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because then the level doesn't end and you wonder what happened.
Yeah.
Along the way, at the beginning especially, you're going to come across these, like, looks like a cross in the ground. But what those are actually are daggers or swords that are stuck in the ground. You can pick these up and you throw them at the mummy. The mummy will explode, but he'll be back. He beams back in the exact same spot after about 5 seconds. The good thing is the swords or the daggers, when you use them, they basically reappear. They just hit the wall or wherever they struck, and they just start. They're in the ground.
So, yeah, they bounce up in the air and then back to the ground.
So you can use it multiple times. You can only hit one mummy at a time. You can't have like a great shot when they're both in a row.
No,
and two.
No,
they work that way.
Hits a target and stops.
The stairs. The mummies can go up down the stairs, and when they hit the stairs, brother, they hit the stairs running. That's when the mummies are at their best. They can move.
They move.
Mummy butts up and down these stairs. You'll also encounter one-way doors, you know, that will get you in and out of places. And then the big thing is, so all this sounds pretty standard, but you've also got the pickaxes. And the pickaxes are what make this title go up, kick it up a notch. Because they add a little load runner to the festivities.
I was thinking more Bagman, but I get it.
Well, Bagman, you didn't put holes in the ground, did you?
You put holes in the wall.
That's not the same. I wish you could do that in this game. It'd been a lot easier. So when you get on some of the levels, the gems are underneath bricks. Okay, so let me explain how this works. When you're running around with your pith helmet, you're holding nothing, then you can jump with the button.
Right? Yes.
If you run around holding the knife, when you hit the button, you'll throw the knife. You won't jump, and you can't jump while you're holding the knife.
Correct.
If you're holding the pickaxe, you also can't jump, and you also can't pick up anything else.
Correct.
Except, so you've got to use what you've got in your hands.
Yeah, you can always pick up gems.
You can always pick up gems.
They go into your mystery inventory. They
so
just go
what
away.
What does this mean? Well, that means if you've got an area where you've got to dig into the ground, right, that means you've got to find, not only do you have to grab the pickaxe, get to the point where you're going to dig, and you dig straight down, by the way. When you get there, you've got to make sure you can get there, which means if you've made any other holes and it screws you, you can hose yourself.
Absolutely.
A lot of the gems, they're not just like, oh, I'll just dig this hole and hop in there and get it. That's not the way it works. You've got to dig an exit route as well, and that makes it a lot harder. So there's strategy. You've got the strategy of getting the pickaxe, the strategy of avoiding the mummies to take the pickaxe where it needs to go, which means usually above where you ultimately need to go. So you drop down to take the pickaxe and dig your way out. Right? It's a very puzzly element to the game, but it doesn't even feel that puzzly. This is the embodiment of an action puzzler.
And the pickaxe, something I didn't realize until the first time I did it, it will either dig down one or two squares.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's, I mean, 90% of the times you have to use it, you're actually digging down two squares.
Yeah, and the problem is, so let's say, for example, you dig down two squares to go and get a gem. Well, you better have a way out of there or have another pickaxe, right? Because if you don't, you're stuck.
Yeah.
And so here's where the funny thing about the Zemex V CPC 51 comes into play. The Zemex does not have a keyboard.
Yeah.
This game requires you to effectively kill yourself if you get to a point where you can't
soft lock yourself. Yeah.
And so you actually have to hit F2 to kill yourself. Well, you don't have an F2, so you're basically boned if that happens. Which is funny because this was released on official cartridge. Now, with that said, I don't have and could not find the ROM for the Zemex version of King's Valley. Okay, I found the MSX version without the Zemex version.
Yes.
Okay, it's out there somewhere, but I couldn't find it. So it's possible that the Zemex version, I don't know what they would have done, maybe programmed another button.
The Zemex has two buttons.
Right, I don't know, but I don't know if they did that or not.
Correct.
My gut says they didn't. My gut says they didn't bother because that's Hidden Pirate Island, that's why.
Although Konami,
you don't know.
Yeah, it's always possible. Yeah,
you never know. So if someone, if you're a listener to this or watching this on YouTube and you know the answer to that or have a hold of one of these, I'd like to know because that would be interesting. So the game has 15 levels, Brent, on the original. Now, the funny thing is, this was also going to be released as a disc title, okay? Of course, the Zemex would not be involved in
that.
But the MSX would. And the MSX, the disc title is around. It has 60 versions, or 60 levels instead of 15. 60, which is a lot. Now get this, it gets better, right? So there's actually a version of this. There's a Saturn Konami collection that actually features that on disc. So you can actually play the 60-level version if you wanted to on disc.
Don't need those extra levels.
Well, I was going to ask you how far you got. Before I get into the more particulars, what did you think of this title, Brent?
It's incredibly frustrating. Some of the game design choices I very much disagree with. For example, you can't put down the pickaxe.
Yeah.
You have to use it. And if you're in a position where you don't want to use it, screw you, you have to use it.
Yeah.
Soft locks, they're 100% avoidable, but they also happen a lot. At least they happen a lot to me. because I would need a pickaxe, or I would pick up a pickaxe too early, be forced to waste it. I mean, the sword, you're forced to use it too, but you can just throw it, right? And then who cares? The you pick it up later if you need it. The pickaxe is forcing you to use them. Pain in the butt. I got nowhere in this game. I was stuck on level two for...
Two?
I made it past level two, but I was stuck on level two longer than I wanted to keep playing the game. So, I didn't have fun. The mummies are jumpable in theory, but I maybe successfully jumped one time. Did you have any luck?
I jumped them tons of times.
No.
No problem.
No, it was a problem.
Well, you had to know when you were doing it. Okay, let's get into the gameplay strategies here a little bit.
All right.
I got to believe level, five or six.
I don't believe you. Go ahead.
It's true.
I don't believe
you. There were levels that were harder than others.
You did that without save states.
Oh, no. I used save states.
Oh, so you cheated. Okay.
Absolutely.
Now I can at least believe you.
I wanted to see further in the game.
Okay.
Good grief.
Because you have a limited number of lives.
You cheat all the time.
I never cheat.
You cheat all the time.
I don't.
Anyways, so I played this, and the hardest thing to get used to is carrying around an item to get it to where you need it. Okay? It's funny because it's like often the mummies don't even bug you that much. Sometimes they're on you.
Not true.
No, I mean, like, for example,
They will camp an item that you need, and it's incredibly frustrating.
No. On the third level, you've got to dig this big hole, okay? And it's to get these two gems,
yeah.
All right? You have to plan how to get multiple, it takes probably about four or five pickaxes to get this thing out of here.
Okay? Right.
And so that one was incredibly frustrating.
Yeah,
because the mummies weren't even an issue. It's just getting the axes up there.
It's
all at the right spot.
Yeah, it's picking them up before when you need them, not beforehand.
Digging in the right spot because it's real easy to make it. So if you have like a floating chunk of dirt, like you can't ever get it because you have to be standing beside where you dig.
Right.
So if there's one that's like you've dug a hole and there's more dirt out there and there's nothing on the other side, you're screwed. Start over. All right. So the digging aspect, I mean, it's real cerebral, this game. You really have to think about what you're going to do. No, it is. It absolutely is. The jumping, the gameplay, I had all kinds of trouble on the stairs. You know, I really did. You have to remember to hold diagonal up the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is, I wish they would make that where you just had to like, tap the button once and it goes up or whatever. That's not the way they did it. That's a sign of the times, too, because it was old school.
Yeah.
But the mummies reconstruct after you kill them very quickly.
Yes.
So that gives you a little time, but not much.
No, because you kill one zombie, maybe in a scenario, you'll kill two.
Yeah.
But there's always another one hanging around.
Yeah, you can up your score by doing it if you're playing for that.
This is not a score
game.
But
I actually thought this was a pretty fun game, if I'm honest. I thought it was actually quite clever. It's not, it's just, there's enough action in it to make it not feel as puzzly, but I mean, it's pretty puzzly.
It is.
I mean, really, like I said, the weapon stuff is really different. It's real different. Now, I'm not too keen on these games like where you can get stuck and you have to kill yourself. It's not my favorite, but it didn't happen to me tons in this. Most of them I would just start over the level because I just knew I could win.
Well, yeah, if you have unlimited lives from cheating, I guess
bad. Save states, not unlimited lives. I want to see, listen, I got a limited amount of time. You know how it goes. But I like the idea that some of the levels are multi-screen. That's a flip screen. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, once I figured out that was a thing, which it's pretty easy to tell because they will draw a wall on the edge of the screen if it's not. And level one is not one, and then level two is one, so you don't expect it.
Yeah. I like this.
But there's nothing wrong with
it's
that.
It's got good. It's got a tune that plays, and it's a good tune.
It's okay, yeah.
It's, I mean, given the time.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with it.
I thought it was a real good tune. And overall, I enjoyed this game pretty much I enjoyed it more than your game. I will say I laughed a lot harder than my your game, but that's not necessarily a good thing. This, I found this game pretty fun, but it is very challenging, that's for sure.
This is not my type of game. I mean, I play Lode Runner, but I don't really... I wouldn't go out of my way to play that type of game.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest Lode Runner fan either.
And this does have Lode Runner feel way more than it has Tutankhamun feel from the arcade. I understand where someone would say they're you know, it's a spiritual successor and all that good jazz. I enjoy Tutankhamun way more than this.
This is way more puzzly than Tutankhamun.
Fun factor. Yeah. I'm not talking, is the game good? Is the game bad? I'm talking totally on fun factor. I enjoy boxing more.
No.
This is not... Boxing's not a better game.
This is way better than boxing.
This is way better than boxing. I didn't... Do you hear the words that I speak?
Fun factor?
Yes.
You would play this over and over. You'd play boxing once or twice. Which is more fun?
Here's the thing, Aaron. I wouldn't play this over and over. Did I play this for longer? Yes, because it took longer for me to have success at this game, which means it has more longevity. Right? If I was going to own one game or the other, I would own King's Valley because it has way more longevity and I would improve. I feel positive I would improve. But for the scenario of this show, you have a couple hours to play both games. I had more fun playing boxing than I did playing this because there are elements of this game that are frustrating. The not being able to jump, forcing you to dig, the dig being a little out of whack. I didn't personally have problems with the stairs, but I can certainly see where someone would. the erratic nature of some of the mummies. Now, I know you're right. They are programmed in like Pac-Man Ghosts.
Yeah,
they have their own little way of fighting. But I just didn't have fun with this. There was not enough there to compel me to want to get better.
I thought it was fun. I think it's actually a clever game. I recommend everyone try it if you get a chance. I think this is a... I'm not going to go as far as say it's a hidden gem. There were things I would
this
like.
This was not a hidden
there
gem.
There were things I'd like.
Give me a break.
Listen, this game's hugely popular.
I believe
overseas.
That.
With all that said, there were things that I think could have made it more... Again, these are contemporary things, but I think there are things that could have made this a little more fun for a modern audience. The ability to control your jump, the ability to control as you fall. These things would have helped, but the problem is that as this game is programmed, those would have defeated the game.
Yes.
Because the game is built on the system it's built on.
Right. I also think that the difficulty curve in this is all out of whack. Level one is literally, it doesn't teach you, it shows you how you can throw a dagger, doesn't teach you anything about pickaxes, and says...
There are none on that level.
I know. And it just says collect the gems. And then level two is such a huge jump in difficulty because you have to strategically dig. You have to a limited number of pickaxes. It's got the flip screen. It's such a boost. That is another thing that probably killed this game for me. There was no steady incline in difficulty. It was super mega easy, learn the controls, and then punched you in the face.
I didn't think level two was all that bad.
I guess. Listen, if you can cheat.
Now, I guess when you're... I didn't cheat on level two. That was easy money, brother. Listen, I'm going to tell you. Maybe you need to, you know... Maybe your reflexes are dull or something.
Listen.
So I looked at a couple reviews from this.
And I'm sure they were spectacular.
Viciojuegos.com, which I'm assuming is a not English site, gave us 89%. Mini Rever gave
good.
It a 70%. And Backlog gave it an 80%. So I think those numbers are maybe a little low.
I would give it... I think 70% is a perfect...
70? That's way too low. That's a C. This is above average title.
No, the 7 out of 10, I think that's a very fair score
for
this game.
I think this is a B game. I think it maybe even B plus.
I think it has B mechanics, but I think the level design and some of the flaws we mentioned bring it down.
Let's hear what the people had to say, the Brent. Pajaco chimed in. This is an incredibly fun and innovative game that has traditional platform game elements, but also some puzzle action, too. The mummies are what I can only describe as some of the most terrifying 8-bit video game enemies ever created. That pink money, that mummy that runs at you is the stuff of nightmares. You probably didn't see him. It's a tough game from the start, but it didn't feel cheap. I really like how much life the developers managed to cram into the characters, and the music is catchy without being annoying. The only issue with the game, specifically the Zemmix, is that it's possible to soft lock the game, as we mentioned. And with no keyboard to hit the suicide button, you have to reset the game and restart. So I'm docking it a point for that. But it's still a fantastic must-play, 8 out of 10. P.S., the game would work great on any system, so homebrewers get cracking. Trust me, they did. We'll get to that in a minute. Bo chimed in on this one. The MSX continues to surprise and delight. It's kind of a glimpse into an alternative future where the NES could have been replaced by a computer that had both an extensive disc and cartridge library. Kings Valley is an excellent example of where the scene was in 1985. A solid single-screen platform title that offers plenty of challenge and stage-by-stage variety with a jaunty tune that doesn't grate and competent sound effects. I appreciated the reusable weapon, something not found often in games of this time, and the lack of fall damage. The only problem I had with this game was finding the exact spot to stand on to go downstairs. All in all, though, an excellent effort on an oft-overlooked platform. Huh. Looks like they're with me on this one, Brent.
I didn't say this was a bad game.
A popular title with our friends on this one. Now, you're probably asking yourself...
I didn't say this was a bad game.
You're asking yourself, I don't know what's wrong with Brent, but why hasn't this been ported to more things since it's so popular? Well, I've got good news. This actually has been unofficially ported to many things. On March 29th of 2021, there was an Amiga version released as a Blitz Basic hobby project, and you can get that for I take that back. I don't think it's for free. It might be. You can look into it. It's an Amiga version. There's an unofficial port on the ZX Spectrum made in 2009 by RetroWorks, and in 2020, there was an unofficial remake on the C64. I looked at the C64 version. It looks great.
Yeah.
It's got all the C64 stuff you would expect, but they kept the game pretty much intact. It looks like a lot of fun. So that's also one you can look into. But overall, I enjoyed this one, Brent. I had a good time. So what did you think as we close up shop here? What did you think about the Zemmix CPC 51?
Well, you know, I would love to get my hands on one of those controllers. Yeah. They look fun as heck.
Yeah, they have a suction cups on them. I mean, look to the bottom, they got two buttons. They look quite nice.
Yeah,
they match the color of the Zemmix.
Yeah, they look like a good arcade-style controller.
That reminds me, just for fun, I did a little eBay look on these.
Right.
So, Kings Valley, by the way, if you're looking to get into it, these things cost a fortune, as you can imagine. The Kings Valley had a sequel. I should mention Kings Valley 2, and it goes for big money as well on there. These things are $1,000 complete in box.
Yeah, that seems to be the going rate.
Now, if you're interested in picking up a Zemmix, you might as well pick up all the cartridges because clearly you're wealthy if you decide to do that because they are uber expensive. I looked up the price of the actual console itself. So if you would like a Zemmix, good luck. I couldn't find any for sale. If you would like a Zemmix Mini, right, which has a bunch of Zemmix or MSX games on it, I think there's 20, you can get one, two different colors, red or white, for $200. Then you got to pay for the shipping from South Korea, which is going to cost you another $60-$70. So they're not expensive. Now, the one thing you might want to go for is one thing. I thought this was cute. I almost bought one until I looked at the price. There's a Zemmix cushion plush doll. It looks just like the Zemmix, but it's plush. It's a keychain. If you like that sort of thing, those are only $40. Then you got to pay $60 shipping, so $100. But they're plush. I'd like to have a plush Zemmix to have hanging around the house. And then if Brent mentioned these, so I'll go into it.
The console is a pleasing home plate design.
It does look like a home plate. if you're interested in any of the Zemmix offspring, like the Super Boy, all those things, just to give you a heads up on what those games for, most of the carts go for around $100, but the more popular carts, that Super Game World 64 or whatever it is, $1,500.
Woo!
That ain't cheap, brother. The Zimix is going to set you back. I would love to have an MSX, by the way. I'd love to have one, but they don't look as cute.
No,
Zimix does. The Zimix is one sweet-looking baby. I enjoyed our time on this one. I enjoyed learning about it, and I enjoyed everything about it.
Now, Aaron, if you had a broken Zimix, do you think that you could send it to Retro Rewind to get it fixed?
Man, if anyone could fix it, it would be our good buddy Frank. And why is that? Because Frank, a man with years and years of experience. And the good thing about it, something like a Zimix, is it's basically electronics, brother.
Yep.
And I looked at the inside of the Zimix, thanks to Boat. It's not much to it. One board, a cartridge slot, so probably so. But Frank goes well beyond the limits of the Zimix. If you've got anything in the Commodore 64 family, the Commodore 128, the Amigas, the CD32s, the CDTVs, the entirety of the Commodore line, the VICs, Frank has got you covered. Not only does he provide service on these, if they're not working correctly, you send them up there. He also provides you the ability to fix your own machine.
Yes.
With diagnostic tools, diagnostic cartridges, replacement caps, chip pullers, the whole nine yards. On top of that, Frank's got a full service store that includes accelerator boards, includes things like SD solutions like the Kung Fu Flash, and if you've got a TRS-80 color computer, and if you don't, you should get one. He provides full service on those, including selling the very popular SDC. I'll be seeing Frank, by the way, along with John, Boat of Car Schaller, when we attend Cocoa Fest in a couple months.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's our good buddy Frank at RetroRewind.ca. Please, go over there, tell him we sent you.
Now, Aaron,
yes, sir.
We've got a little wheel action we need to talk
about.
All right,
about. What do you got there?
Added to the wheel... In the Retro Rewind space,
yes,
black and white games. One of our least popular episodes of all time.
I'm glad to see you bringing that back because that pinball machine I covered has a sequel.
And for the new piece, Urban Legends, Aaron. Urban
Ooh,
Legends.
Who suggested that?
Mr. John Schaller.
Oh, okay. But in-house. All right. Hold it right over there so it gets out of the glare. There you go. Let's see this thing go. Over that way.
We have the Microvision.
Oh, that's outstanding. That is great.
Microvision
by Aaron. That was suggested
by
me.
Yep.
Because I can't believe we covered it. Microvision, literally, what if not the first handheld, one of the first handheld. And next week on the show, we'll cover two Microvision titles, and I'll actually bring here in-house... I will bring the Microvision.
Something tells me, Aaron, the game selection already complete.
Yeah, because
we
actually got the two games for this thing, including one that I've never opened. So that's gonna be great. I'm so happy that came up, Brent.
Yes.
Microvision. That's a system no one talks about. And I'm lucky enough to have one that actually sort of kind of works.
And we're gonna be talking about it tomorrow.
Now,
or next week. Not tomorrow.
No, don't tune in
tomorrow.
You know, we have two events drawing nigh. I want to talk about the Brent. And just literally 2 weeks from yesterday, February 18th, it's going to go down. It's Amiga-thon.
Yes.
2023. So if you're asking yourself, wait a minute, did you guys not just do Amiga-thon in the summer? Correct. But we moved Amiga-thon to the winter to move it further away from Boat Fest. So we moved it to the
other. Who's going to question that?
Well, you never
You're
know.
Doing another charity stream already, you jerk.
But I'm just saying.
How dare you help the children?
Because normally, I can see why people can be confused by the date, but we moved it to February. Plus, there's nothing going on in February. We already raised, thank you, Tech Boy, for mentioning it. We already raised 1,250 wigwams, US dollars. I want to thank all the people that have donated. I want to thank Frank for matching the first $500.
Yes.
Everyone that's donated, we'll be sure to mention you when we get the whole thing cooking. Again, this will be February 18th, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Boat's basement.
Yep.
Me, you, and Boat for 12 hours of nothing but hot, incredibly hot Amiga action.
And if you want to donate right now, you can go to amigathon.com. It will link you to the donation page. no one here ever touches that money. It goes straight into the donation kitty.
Yeah.
So if you want to donate early so you don't, you can just sit back and chill for the rest of the stream, go right ahead. If you are not able to donate, don't think you can't come around. Come on around. If you want to help out, invite some buddies. Get a, you know, spread the word about Amigathon. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, we're going to be going 12 hours live on this very Twitch channel, Amigos Retro Gaming, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Should be a lot of fun. Now, I want to touch on one more thing. This is the last time I get to plug this. Next, this coming Saturday, which is the 11th, Brent, myself, the Round Mound of Sound, Amigo Aaron, joined by Professor Wrestling, Tim Legg, and the Southern Dandy, John Bonaparte Schaller. We will be live from the India Center in South Charleston for Battleground Wrestling. It's going to be a heck of a show, headlined by Bobby Fish, the infamous Bobby Fish, being the main event. Should be a great show, and we're going to be broadcasting this show free on our Twitch channel, live from the India Center. So you'll see me, Boat, and Professor Wrestling, Tim Legg, calling all the action. So if you're interested in some local, low-level indie fun, please stop by and check that out. Again, this will be it'll be this coming Saturday, the 11th of February. It'll probably kick off around 7 p.m. I think, the Brent, that is all we've got. Do you have any parting thoughts when we take things to the house?
Nope.
Fair enough. We'll see you next week for the Microvision. And until next time, day woo!
Thanks for joining us today. We really hope you enjoyed the show. A special thank you to Death and Styles for our vector style graphics and Barkbit for our amazing music. Would you like to help keep ARG spinning? You can do so at patreon.com/ARGpresents. Just like these fine folks.
Chris Munch.
Rarlet. 17. Laurent Garut. Templar Mar. Z9K9. Jerry Dennington. John Dykeman. Retroalogy. Air Shack. Texas Foosballer. Sundown. O'Rong. Super Tech Boy. David Terrence. Mr. B. Roushi. Graham. W. Fetke. Dave Velociraptor. Bernhardt Lucas, Steve Rathmussen, Anthony Jarvis, Bitter Blitter, Pajaco 6502, Kevin Bean, Andy Jones, Andy Craig, Rob Black O'Hara, Jason Warnes, Mitsuyama, Chris Foles, Frodo NL, the
Richard Smith, Morris,
Terry Howard, Olaf Hope, and Rolo. They all have access to our Discord channel, their name called out in the credits, and visualized in the ending scene. Have an idea for a wheel piece? You can send it to us at argpresents@mail.com.